One.
How do black men make this choice right now when they go out in public? What is the right thing to do, both for public health and for themselves, Aaron?
If I can speak personally for a moment, as a black man, I often rely on my smile that, you know, would allow me to disarm people who might assume the worst about me, have not knowing me, never met me. And so having a mask on takes away one of my tools that I use to stay safe as I'm walking about in America as a black man.
Two.
So I can imagine that many black men, and not just black men, but other men of color, are making that decision. Do I stay safe from this highly contagious virus? Or do I remove a mask or choose not to wear a mask so that I can use all of the tools that I'm equipped with to disarm and make people feel more comfortable around me, given that we know that we are viewed in a different light in this country, and especially by law enforcement.
Three.
What actions do black men have to take to appear less threatening under normal circumstances, and how does COVID-19 exacerbate that?
Yeah, so I think there are a few important points. Black men were significantly less likely to engage in physical activity in predominantly white neighborhoods. And they then went through a signaling process, things like Aaron described, smiling when they are walking down the street or running down the street, wearing an alumni t-shirt, always waving at neighbors, running in well-lit areas, carrying an ID with them, things that people don't typically do when they actually go out to exercise. I mean, running a few miles is already difficult enough. That signaling process was something that is unique to black men, oftentimes, that we have always done.
Four.
Up to this point, overall, the pandemic has been responded to in a colorblind approach. That's the wrong approach to take in a society that is not colorblind. So what we actually have to do is take a health equity approach to what's going on. The final point I want to make about bias in policing is that we know that it's rampant. There is a large study done in New York City of about 700,000 police stops. What that study found is that only about 2% of the stops led to the discovery of contraband.
Five.
That meant 98% of the people, of the 700,000 people they stopped, were doing nothing. But 50% of the time, force was used on black men. And interestingly, police officers were more likely to find contraband or an illegal weapon on white men relative to black men. Does that mean that white men are more likely to commit crime? No. But what it does mean is that police officers are using a different script. When they see a white man, they're actually looking at their behavior. When they see a black man, they are looking at their skin tone.
Six.
And that is the factor that we have to deal with. And implicit bias trainings only go so far until we actually deal with the accountability within law enforcement. Racism is baked into the recipe that created the United States. And we have still never dealt with that. And black male criminalization is a large part of that recipe.